You may proceed.
May it please the court, I'm Mark Carlton. I'm counsel for James River Insurance Company in this matter. And I would like to reserve 3 minutes rebuttal if I may. The legal issue in this case is simple, but it's highly significant for purposes of Virginia coverage law. The question is whether repair of a tire is maintenance of an automobile under the plain and ordinary meaning of that phrase that's contained in all standard Virginia auto policies and general liability policies, and ultimately the case is about preserving the distinction between auto policies that provide coverage for auto risks and general liability policies that exclude coverage for those risks. Very briefly, the facts are these. Doswell Truck Stop DTS is a truck stop in Doswell, Virginia, and it consists of a hotel with a pool, a convenience store, a gas station. It's got some vacant land and a garage where they perform vehicle repairs. James River Insurance Company issued a commercial general liability policy, a CGL policy, to DTS, which provides general liability coverage for the property. So the policy provides the general liability coverage for the business as a whole, everything from slips and falls in the hotel to food poisoning in the convenience store to injury at the pool, advertising injury, defamation coverage, all of the coverages you find in a standard general liability policy. The James River policy does not, however, provide coverage for auto risks. Like all standard general liability policies, it contains an auto exclusion that bars coverage for bodily injury or property damage arising out of the ownership, maintenance, or use of a vehicle.
Well, that language in almost identical terms is in the UM-UIM, as well as almost every auto policy we've read. So your contextual point is less semantic and more, this is the function of these policies. This is the way the policies work. They fill the gaps this way. The industry has always accepted it this way. And it's the only reasonable way to understand the term.
It's both. It's semantic. Well, it works the way it works, and that makes sense. But it's semantic as well. I don't think you really need to look past. We can talk about how it all works, and
so
I think that's important to talk about it.
If maintenance really meant only you just got it there as you possess it, okay, I'm maintaining it because I've got the car there, how would that not be redundant with use or, for that matter, ownership?
I think it would be, and preparing for this, I'm trying to think of some liability that would be imposed on the insured for maintenance that arises from a non-ownership possessory interest that would normally be encompassed by the policy. Not just being, I don't think it's real world.
That's a tough, friendly question, isn't it?
Tough, friendly question. Just briefly, James Smith brought his truck to DTS to get it fixed, to get his tire fixed. And in the course of that repair, the tire exploded, injuring him. Those are the facts. And Smith filed a lawsuit against DTS for his injuries. Now, importantly, James River did not issue a garage policy or a business auto policy to DTS. As a coverage lawyer that's been doing it a little while, that was my first question. What possible basis would the garage carrier or the business auto carrier have to deny coverage for this thing? Why is it on my desk? What we learned during the course of the case was that even though DTS was operating a garage on its policy, on its property, it didn't have garage or business auto coverage. So without the benefit of that coverage,
which would
to turn
auto
to
maintenance and
it's
auto
covered
repair,
every day.
So.
Covered every day. This claim is covered every day under a garage policy or a business auto policy. That's correct. So they tendered it to us. We denied coverage based on the auto exclusion. This coverage lawsuit followed in the Hanover Circuit Court. Ruled in favor of DTS on two grounds. One, they said maintenance of an auto under the auto exclusion is ambiguous. And the court also ruled that Smith's purported premises liability claim isn't subject to the auto exclusion. And respectfully, both of those rulings were incorrect. First, the auto exclusion is not ambiguous. The operative phrase, ownership, maintenance, or use of a vehicle, is ubiquitous in insurance policies. It's contained in the governing statutes for UM and the omnibus statute in Virginia. It's found in the insuring agreement of all standard auto policies, be it personal or commercial. It's found in the corresponding auto exclusion and general liability policies. And as noted in our briefs, the phrase maintenance of an auto has been applied by courts, either in the context of the insuring agreement of an auto policy or the auto exclusion in a general liability policy. And never once has it been found to be ambiguous or unclear in any way.
Has any court ever interpreted a CGL policy to include repair and maintenance of vehicles with auto exclusion in it?
No. Not that I've been able to find.
I think the dilemma in this case is that this is a business commercial policy, and part of their business is operating that garage. And the exclusion of autos would be autos that they own, but not necessarily autos that they repair, because that's part of their business. So the question of whose auto it is, it seems to me, is a threshold question as to whether or not there's coverage under this policy.
And it's answered directly by the exclusion itself, which bars coverage for the bodily injury or property damage arising from the ownership, maintenance, or use of any auto.
Well, I understand that, and I think there's actually a better argument for you than that, because the trial judge said that's an ambiguity. Whether it was I think the trial judge wasn't looking at that actually for the ambiguity. He was looking at the word maintenance, which is curious to me. But it seems to me that if you look at the current auto exclusion, it talks about any auto. That doesn't actually answer the question, because it would be any auto belonging to a customer or any auto belonging to the insured. I mean, I think it's still out there as an ambiguous question. But what concerns me about it, and I suspect I'm going to be asking this question of the appellees, on page 143 of the appendix, there is the former paragraph that was deleted in favor of the current exclusion, which is on page 187. Are you there?
I'm there.
Okay. If you look at paragraph G on the former policy, before this was removed, it says bodily injury or property, this is what is being excluded, or property damage arising out of the ownership, maintenance, use, or entrustment to others of any aircraft, auto, or watercraft owned or operated by or rented or loaned to any insured. Now, that was deleted. And you go over to 187 and you find the policy that's listed here. So the argument that somehow there's a distinction between an owner's automobile, an insured's automobile, as opposed to a customer's automobile, seems to have been removed from consideration by the removal of that language from the former policy.
It absolutely was.
I'm curious to know if that was actually an argument that was made in the case.
No. I believe the court's ruling wasn't entirely clear based on the opinion. But
I don't know about the court's ruling one way or the other, but what I'm concerned about is whether that argument was made, whether the court understood it or not.
I can't remember if these good lawyers here made arguments one way or the other on any. As I recall, I don't think so. I don't think that was an issue. I don't think there's an issue of whether whether this is ambiguous.
Look, I mean, clearly, argument for you than the one that you're making, but I'm not sure that it was made in the court below. I'll ask them.
Well, clearly, it's clear that the exclusion applies to bodily injury arising out of the maintenance of any automobile. It doesn't matter whether it was the insured's automobile or your automobile or mine or somebody else's.
Well, if the trial judge looks at it and said, well, yeah, I understand that, but the any automobile has to define whether it's any automobile owned by the insured as opposed to any automobile owned by a customer of the garage, because this is a commercial policy covering their business, and part of their business is operating a garage. Now, that would be great if the former language was still in this policy, but it's not.
It's not. It's not. And, again, I think it's clear. And I think there's a reason why they did that. It means, the exclusion means what it says. It bars coverage for property damage or bodily injury arising out of the maintenance of any automobile, and it does not matter.
That is similar concern, but it sounds like because, as opposed to other retail establishments, a garage presents a peculiar series of risks, like cars falling off of the lift or some of these tools that, you know, potentially could damage somebody, or hot oil, motor oil, whatever. Because there's these distinct series of risk vis-a-vis other retailers that if you sell clothes or bread or whatever, that you have these garage policies that specifically target those risks.
That's correct. And again, it's this is a covered claim under a garage policy. That the risks associated with maintaining a vehicle are distinct, and they're very real. There's no real-world practical risk associated with, you know, the alternative definition proposed by DTS for non-ownership possessory interest. The risk associated with working on cars is very common. It's every day. It's significant. People get hurt. They're in those cases that are in the brief. People get crowbars in the eye, and they fall out of the back of trunks while they're trying to change a tire. I don't know how that happened, but it did. Tires explode. And that is why there is a specific insurance product tailored to provide coverage for this very risk. It's in a garage policy. A garage policy is kind of a subset of a business auto policy. Provides coverage for
down to 2 minutes.
But, yes. I will reserve any other questions, please. Otherwise, I will reserve the remaining 2 minutes of my time.
All right.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, John O'Haron on behalf of Dodgeville Truck Stop with my co-counsel, Mike Matheson, with me. The context of this case matters, and it's the context that is critical for this very common language being ambiguous in this case. This, in the context of a CGL policy issued to a truck stop that is engaged in the business of washing trucks, repairing trucks, offering a place to sleep for truck drivers, offering a convenience store and a gas station to truckers, their vehicles, and them. This is a context in which the phrase maintenance of an auto has more than one reasonable meaning.
Well, in a truck stop, obviously the risk of a double rim tire exploding has been amply demonstrated over a long period of time, with people dying as a result of it and being severely injured. So it's an enormous risk that somebody undertakes. I'm talking about an insurance policy undertakes if they're doing it at a commercial truck stop. Judge Hughes apparently tried this case. Is that right?
That's correct, Your Honor.
And what I think what he said was is that there's an ambiguity, and it's resolved against the insurance company. But the question I asked him, I'd like to ask you and see what your answer is. The former policy actually says that the exclusion has to do with vehicles owned or operated by or rented or loaned to the insured. And that was deleted. Which left this phrase, any vehicle being excluded.
Correct,
so
Your Honor.
So you ended up going from a very narrow, this is only the prior policy or prior language of the policy, so we're going to exclude all your vehicles. That's what it says.
Correct, Your Honor.
We take it out, and now it says we're going to exclude every vehicle.
Well, I think the notable distinction between the old provision that was deleted and the new provision is that it refers to vehicles now both owned by the insured and by the truckers that come to the truck stop. So that's where, under the former policy, under the former provision of the auto exclusion, that applied to a specific subset of vehicles. This language now applies to any automobiles. That is every automobile that this truck stop is in the business of servicing. It is that's the context that matters. This thing is now, this auto exclusion under James River's analysis is now so broad as to cover any upkeep or repair as to any vehicle that comes on the premises. That is the entire business.
But the argument could be made when you specifically exclude automobiles or trucks owned and operated by the insured, that makes it clear that you're still covering the ones that aren't owned and operated by the insured, and those would be your customers. You take that out, and it applies to any automobile, including, presumably, those that are owned by your customers. And the question is, does that resolve the matter in such a way that there isn't any ambiguity now? There may have been if that language had been left in the policy, but there isn't any more.
I don't think so, Your Honor. The former language, we don't know the reasons why it was deleted. But to accept that line of argument makes this policy essentially worthless, because everything that this truck stop is
that
business,
right? I mean, there's a retail.
I'm going to challenge you on that.
Right. I mean, they part of the problem is they have a multifaceted business. They have, you know, convenience store. Well, that's a dangerous slip and fall. Or you know, they have a restaurant, and so. But if you eat, you know, adulterated food, that's a separate risk. So here, because it's a
hotel.
Right, and that has its own set of risks, and so it's a multifaceted business, and so isn't that an overstatement, I guess, to say, well, now they just were sold a pig in a poke, and they're wasting their money on this policy?
It certainly covers some risks associated with some of the things they're providing, but as far as a truck wash, vehicles that are kept overnight with truckers staying overnight at the hotel, the repair garage, even the gas station area, if a trucker is doing something as it pertains to the upkeep of his truck and a bodily injury arises, that is now not covered under this
expansive and the argument we just heard was, well, but there's a product tailored for that specific business of a garage-type policy. So, you know, I have a vehicle that's a car, I have car insurance. If I buy a boat, it's a completely separate series of risks. If I have a bakery, if I have a clothing store, there's a GCL policy that covers that universe. And then if I have a blasting company, maybe I need something else. So that's the argument on his side, is that it's a garage. Garages have distinct risks. There's a product for that. What's your response? Just plain language,
yes,
trumps?
Several responses. Okay. One is that it's not in the record. My opposing counsel stated some things that are not in the record. It is not in the record whether we had an auto or garage policy. So that's the first point. The second point is that in analyzing an ambiguity, a potential ambiguity in an insurance contract, this court has already said in the American Reliance versus Mitchell case that we relied on in our brief, that the question is looking at the policy and whether the potential ambiguity added definition is reasonable. The insurance company in that case did exactly what James River is doing here. They're saying to define this word, look at other provisions, look at other policies and other coverages that should provide this coverage. In that case, the potential ambiguities were the word employee and loan. And the insurance company in that case said, with respect to employee, look to workers' compensation coverage. That's where that coverage is supposed to be. And this court said no and found the word employee ambiguous. The other question was loan. And the insurance company in that case said, look to auto policies. Auto policies should be the ones covering this risk. And this court said no and defined the word loan to be ambiguous, even though it was sort of what you and I would call a normal loaning of a vehicle. It was a friend who let someone borrow their vehicle on the farm. This court said loan could be a formal bailment, or it could be the informal arrangement that was at issue there. And this court said it could be either. And so, therefore, the word is ambiguous, and we're construing it in favor of the insured.
May I ask you this? Using your more narrow focus for resolving ambiguities, does it make sense an insurer would say, look, I'm not willing to take the risk of having cars that you maintain, meaning they just sit around and you possess them. I don't want anything to do with insuring a car sitting around. But I don't have any problem with a car that you work on and blow the tire up and half kill somebody. I'll insure that. Is that even an arguably reasonable resolution of the ambiguity?
Well, I think that question goes to why James River should have defined the word.
No, I'm asking, the word is there, and you provide an explanation for what the word means. And when I unpack the explanation, I see your explanation is excluding something that doesn't even exist. There is no risk to speak of. In fact, I looked at both of y'all's briefs trying to give me a hypothetical of how you could have a maintenance mere possessory interest risk. They're excluding that. They don't want anything to do with that, but they don't have a problem with you working on everyone's cars. That's not the maintenance they have a problem with. Who would ever do that?
Well, Your Honor, I think there is a distinction, and one example would be a lease. That is a non-ownership where we don't own, we're not using, we're not entrusting to others. The other example would be a car that is left, a vehicle at this truck stop where we repair vehicles that we are going to repair. We are keeping it. It is on the grounds, but we do not own it, we are not using it, and we are not entrusting it to others. That is a day-in and day-out facet of this business. And
someone,
that is why
someone vandalizes it or whatever.
Yeah, or an oil spill and somebody falls, or the gas tank explodes. Or
so
there are all kinds of risks.
You possess it for, it's a really bad repair, it takes a week to do it, so you maintain it, you possess it with authority for a week, and the tire blows off there, as opposed to it's only there for 15 minutes and the tire blows off?
Well, I think either are reasonable. That's why this is a word that needs to be defined. And the fact is, this word is used in both senses in this very policy that they're citing. The meaning is so clear.
So why would any insurer, how could we interpret a clause to be so nonsensical? I want insurance against a tire blowing up if you maintain the vehicle, which is some esoteric concept that it's there for a long period of time with permission. But I don't have a problem with tires that blow up when you don't maintain the vehicle, which is it's only there for an hour or two. That doesn't sound reasonable to me.
Well, I think the duration of keeping a vehicle on the premises need not be a week. It could be a short period of time. But the point remains that those are both reasonable risks for a truck stop to want coverage for, and for James River to either provide or exclude coverage for. And that's why
the exclusion intend to exclude. And your argument is intend to exclude something where the risks were astronomically low, but had no problem taking on board and not excluding where the risks are enormously high, running a tire repair shop.
By the same token, the insured is purchasing coverage for a truck stop. A truck stop that is repairing vehicles and servicing vehicles and providing all of these services that we've talked about day in and day out. They have a right to know what coverage they're getting, and it is reasonable to think that they thought they were getting coverage that didn't exclude a large portion of the business that they're in. If a trucker pulls into the restaurant and goes in to eat, and an injury arises because he comes out and is doing something with his truck that could fall under the very broad umbrella of upkeep or repair, or somebody walking by who works for Doswell Truck Stop does something that could fall under the broad umbrella of upkeep or repair, that falls within this exclusion under James River's analysis. So there, by their analysis of the breadth of this coverage, there's an enormous swath of conduct and potential injuries that are barred. And if that is what they wanted to exclude, they needed to define the word, because keeping vehicles is a reasonable construal of this provision.
What the
policy states
about the UIN coverage provisions that are required by statute and the omnibus statute? I mean, this is a term of art, this phrase is. It's not just something picked out by underwriters to stick in an insurance policy. Are you telling us we can't look at those statutes to see the industry understanding of them?
2 points. One is, I don't think the statutes convey James River's construal of this term. The second point is that it's only in an exclusion where this word can't mean both things. If one is solicitous of coverage, under this court's case law, it has to apply the reasonable definition that is solicitous of coverage. That is not the case under the under a coverage clause with this exact language, or the UM statutes or the other statutes that use this phrase. So finding an ambiguity in this context as it relates to this truck stop in the business that this truck stop is in the business in does not mean that this word or even this exact phrase is ambiguous in other contexts. Even this auto exclusion for a sandwich shop, a business that there's no reason to think any other meaning of maintenance was intended, is not even the same thing. So you could have the same auto exclusion that we have in this case, the same CGL policy word for word, and the arguments would not be the same. And I would not be here stating these arguments as far as interpreting the word maintenance to mean something else. In this context, this truck stop provides all of these services. James River uses the word maintain or maintenance in its policy over a dozen times, never defines it, and I direct your attention, Your Honors, to JA-153, where the word mobile equipment is defined. Mobile equipment is a type of vehicle, and the type of vehicle is defined to be vehicles maintained primarily to provide mobility, maintained primarily for purposes other than transportation, kept, or possessed for that purpose. So this is a word that has multiple meanings depending on its context. That's what this court said in Savage, granted not an auto case. That's what the Fourth Circuit said in Breton, granted not an auto case. But in those contexts, as with a vehicle that is capable of being possessed or kept, as well as capable of being repaired and kept up, those cases, like this case, are contexts in which the word has more than one reasonable meaning.
But none of our auto exclusion policies.
That's correct. But they are contexts in which the word has more than one reasonable meaning. In this context, because of the unique nature of the business that Doswell Truck Stop is in, it too is a context where this word has more than one reasonable meaning. Your Honors, I did not, regretfully did not include them in my brief, but in preparation for this oral argument, I found three out-of-state cases where the word maintenance in an auto exclusion was found to be ambiguous. They are USAA versus DARE, 357 Illinois Appeals 3rd, 955. Alabama Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance versus Tubbs, which is 293 Alabama 432. And Nationwide Mutual Fire versus Allen, 68 North Carolina Appeals 184.
And what are the dates of those cases?
Yes, apologies. The Illinois case is 2005. The Alabama case is 1974. And the North Carolina case is 1984.
Have you provided those to your opposing counsel with some kind of notice that you were going to rely upon them?
I did not, Your Honor.
Why should we consider them?
Your Honor, I found them in preparing for this argument I think the reason I cited them is because I believe they're relevant to the question of whether the maintenance in this auto exclusion can be found to be ambiguous.
I know. It may very well be, but it's not a proper process to unload that on the opposing party and the court without some kind of notice.
I understand, and I apologize for not doing that earlier.
Your time has expired as well.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Just to hit a couple of these points, the test for ambiguity is not whether a good lawyer armed with a dictionary can find an alternative meaning of a phrase that would make a particular provision of a policy inapplicable. The alternative meaning has to make some kind of sense, have some practical application in the real world, and their alternative meaning just doesn't. We're just asking the court to apply the phrase maintenance of an automobile according to its plain, ordinary meaning, and trying to think of scenarios where it might apply, possession, holding vehicles for a period of time. Well, guess what? There's something called garage keeper's coverage that is part of every single garage policy I've ever seen since I've been a coverage lawyer, and it provides coverage for exactly that.
The thing I don't understand is he's saying that you can't make that point because that's not in the policy, but he makes the point, well, I own a garage. Well, suppose he didn't own a garage. So this term means different things depending on the identity of the insured. At some point, we've got to be able to find rules to to cabin the contextual scope of the ambiguity.
I agree, and I think it's I think the exclusion is plain on its face. How it all works in the industry is plain on its face, and that's what we're asking this court to recognize. And if there are any other questions, I thank you for your time.
All right, thank you very much. The court will be in recess until 9 o'clock tomorrow morning.